Let's cross live to former U.S. Marine Corps intel officer and, of course, former U.N. weapons inspector Scott Ritter, now joining us live here on RT International during this breaking news story. Scott, a very warm welcome to you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this story is breaking news on RT, and it's currently making headlines as we speak in real time all around the world. So it's great to get you in so quickly on this. The Russian president instructing Russian officials to prepare proposals for possible nuclear tests. Your reaction to that, Scott? How did we get here?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's pragmatic on the part of Russia to be prepared for any eventuality, just like any nation should be prepared for any eventuality. We got here because of the sloppiness of the Trump administration and the imprecise nature of President Trump's words, and more than likely, the incomplete and inadequate briefings he receives from his team. We had a situation where Russia had tested two nuclear delivery systems that incorporated nuclear propulsion capabilities, the Burevestnik cruise missile and the Poseidon underwater drone. But the term nuclear was used twice in regards to each weapon. Yeah. And this had the American president say, well, the Russians are testing, so we need to test too. And I am ordering my Secretary of War to prepare nuclear weapons tests.
Yeah.
Now, I think what is clear here is that people should parse these words very carefully. The Secretary of Defense or War or whatever we want to call him nowadays is not the individual responsible for the actual tests of nuclear weapons that are covered by the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. What the Secretary of Defense or War is responsible for is overseeing the tests of nuclear weapons delivery systems, such as the Minuteman III or the Trident D5 missile. And so to order the Secretary of Defense to carry out tests means that the president is saying Russia has tested two nuclear delivery systems. We need to ensure that our systems are tested as well. This is simply simplistic thinking on the part of the president, who perceives a weakness in the face of ongoing Russian tests of delivery systems.
Yeah.
So in accordance with his, ongoing mantra of peace through strength, we have to appear to be strong to test a nuclear delivery system ourselves, which is going to happen in short order. A Minuteman III is being prepared for testing. But it is not the testing of nuclear weapons. The United States continues to adhere to the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. The testing that is being done today is subcritical testing with a lot of computer simulation, similar to what Russia, China, and other signatory powers of the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty are doing. This is simply, in my opinion, a case of the president speaking in an imprecise manner, a politically irresponsible manner, and Russia taking pragmatic steps until clarification is received.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Scott. Let me bring up some of the commentary from this Russia Security Council meeting that just wrapped up just about an hour and a quarter ago. Sergei Shoigu, the current secretary of the Security Council of the Russian Federation, he said the U.S., according to intelligence, by the way, the U.S. is poised to stage underground explosive tests. Now, I've been watching you earlier. I've been watching you with Judge Danny Haifeng. I've been watching you a lot in recent days and many, many months, actually, Scott. But it's always been... the theory has always been there are not going to be nuclear tests in America. It's going to be delivery systems or the components or the infrastructure, but they won't do nuclear tests. Well, Sergei Shoigu, an hour and a quarter ago, said intelligence suggests the U.S. is poised to stage underground explosive tests. Now, one question would be, would that be a violation of the test ban treaty? The second question would be, what do you think the average American taxpayer feels about that, if indeed the intelligence is correct?
We know several things. We know that there is a strong advocacy in the United States for resuming actual nuclear weapons tests. That is, tests that achieve fission. We have an aging nuclear weapons infrastructure. Many of our weapons designs date back to the 1970s and 1980s. Many of them have had to undergo maintenance that leaves whether or not they will function the way they were designed to function up in question. And there are many people who say that we can't have a genuine nuclear deterrence unless we know for certain our weapons work. And so they are urging that the United States withdraw from the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty and undergo a series of tests. But politically speaking, this has never passed the final measure. The President of the United States has always turned this down and said that adhering to this treaty is important. What we do have is congressional mandate to be prepared yeah. to conduct the tests when ordered to do so. And so much money is spent every year digging tunnels, putting in sensors, being prepared. And this could be what General Shoigu or Marshal Shoigu is referring to, the preparations. Yeah. Yeah. But I would say that before the United States went that route, we would formally withdraw from the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. And there has been no indication that the United States has communicated such a measure to Russia, China, or any other signatories.
Oh, thanks for that, Scott. We all like to watch Donald Trump doing his thing. You know, there are many moments when he's entertaining. There are other times when he puffs up his chest and rattles his saber and says America is the biggest and the strongest. And fair play to him. You know, he's a president. He's a PR spokesman. I get that. But America has the Minuteman missile, right, which sounds more like an 18-year-old on prom night. But in Russia, you've got the Oreshnik, you've got the Burevestnik, you've got the Poseidon nuclear-powered underwater drone, you've got the Kinjal hypersonic missiles. You've got a list of Russian strategic technology that the United States simply doesn't have. And that worries me because Trump doesn't seem like the guy who's going to back down in a disagreement like this, a nuclear disagreement. He's just going to puff up his chest even more. How do you foresee Trump and this playing out?
Well, we're in a very dangerous situation. Yeah. This is absolutely certain. I just published a book about it just to promote it a little bit.
Yeah.
The Highway to Hell, which is exactly what we are on today. Oh. The Highway to Hell, the nuclear Armageddon. And we're on this path largely because of the policies of the United States, which have been inconsistent with, you know, seeking to de-escalate. We have not funded our nuclear deterrence capabilities the way they probably should have been funded. And so we are behind technology-wise with Russia and China. We do have some trump cards, so to speak. The Trident D5 missile on board the Ohio-class submarine continues to be a nuclear deterrence to which no nation has a response for. But we're not in the business of trying to be able to launch an attack. We should be in the business of deterring attacks. And right now, Russia has developed very effective nuclear deterrence capabilities. It's imperative that the United States understand the intent of Russia in this regard and ensure that we sustain arms control agreements that limit, put caps on the number of weapons deployed. Right now, the New START Treaty, the only remaining nuclear arms treaty between the United States and Russia, expires on February 5th. President Putin has spoken of a one-year voluntary moratorium, but this is contingent on the United States not doing anything that is deemed to be destabilizing, such as building a Golden Dome ballistic missile defense shield or deploying new weapons or testing nuclear weapons. All of this would end arms control as we know it. Yeah. Right now, President Trump doesn't seem to be cognizant of the realities that we are in, and he doesn't have a team that's giving him good advice. He has a team that's encouraging this kind of blustering, chest putting out, etc. Russia has been patient to the extent that it is allowed to be patient, but Russia has to look out for its own national security interests. And in the face of irresponsible rhetoric and posturing by the United States, you know, it's only reasonable, dangerous, but reasonable that Russia will, you know, take measures necessary to ensure that they don't lose, the ability to sustain their own strategic nuclear deterrence.
Yeah, fair comment, Scott. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Just going back to the Russian Security Council that wrapped up a short time ago, the defense minister, Andrei Belousov, he said that the U.S. is modernizing its nuclear weapons systems, warheads, missiles with ranges of up to 13,000 kilometers. He said Washington is working on an advanced submarine. It's going to retrofit the B-52 bombers. It's working on this Golden Dome. There's a lot of plans in the works here, Scott. I can only imagine time and expenses. What's your comment on that?
Again, Russia has every right to look at what the United States is doing with concern because it alters the strategic balance. The United States has an aging strategic nuclear defense force. The Minuteman III is supposed to have already been phased out. We've put it through life extension plans. We were supposed to replace it by the end of this decade with a new missile, the Sentinel missile. We can't build it. It's too expensive. And so we're going to extend the life of the Minuteman III until 2050. That means that the average airman who or guardian nowadays who is operating this missile will be twice as old as they are. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We also have a B-52 bomber that's being upgraded, the nuclear version, to the J model. But we don't have the money for this. It's too expensive. It takes too much time. And so they're talking about building more B-21 bombers. Again, expense. We're not geared up to build this many bombers in a timely fashion. And yes, we have a new submarine that we're talking about building. But understand, we can't build the submarines we already have, the Virginia-class submarine.
Yeah.
We're already behind schedule on that. This creates a dangerous situation. That means that there'll be more emphasis placed on what is called the Golden Dome. But yeah. None of the technology needed for the Golden Dome exists, and it probably won't exist. We're in a situation where the United States has fallen behind Russia and China in terms of strategic technologies. And this means that a president whose whole premise is based upon the appearance of strength will continue to rely on words and bluster and not reality.
Yeah, that's a really good comment there, Scott. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people talk about antiquated technology. A lot of our aircraft carriers, for example, you know, a lot of the American ones and so on and so forth, they go back to the World War II, the days of World War II. A lot of the technology is pretty much outdated. And I was just going to say, you know, people talk about the military-industrial complex. And, you know, some people say that the Russian military is designed for military purposes, but the U.S. military is designed for profit. A closing statement from you, Scott, please.
Look, I'm very impressed with Russian defense industry and how it's adapted from the transition from Soviet times to today, the very difficult decade of the 1990s, where temptation would have been to close these industries down. But Russia persevered, and today they have some of the finest defense research capabilities that are partnered with defense production capabilities, so they can rapidly turn around an idea into reality at an expense that's affordable. In the United States, we're geared towards appeasing the board of directors and the shareholders. It's about what the bottom line is, how much money is. So as a result, when our defense industry bids on a project, they do a low bid to win the contract, and then they gradually the price over time. So we get a weapon that is unaffordable, and it doesn't appear in a timely manner. Two systems are not there's no competition. Russia wins this hands down.
Yeah, so it was like the F-35, the most expensive fighter jet in the history of the world, spends most of its time on the ground. Scott Ritter is a U.S. Marine Corps intel officer, also a former U.N. weapons inspector, and one of the clearest voices of reason in the world today. Scott, always great to get you on the program. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.